Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Yes, this is Kathy Harper Hall.
Ah, lovely, lovely. Thank you, Ms. Harper Hall. Good to hear you. And thank you for choosing me to share your reflections on the late Blackie, as we called it.
Yes, I really wanted to talk to you about it because I know you two have a connection with Blackie.
Oh, yes, yes, yeah.
Just wanted to say that for us in United Athletic Club, UAC, which is by now should be a familiar club name across Barbados, Blackie was one of our founding members. And it was in April 3rd, 1967, that Blackie and Jim Wedderburn and a few other, Jurston Clark and the late Anthony Lovell, they all got together and formed United Athletic Club. At that time, it was strictly track and field, and it was strictly men, male-dominated club.
Okay.
And they Blackie was the first coach. He was elected vice president. Jim was the first president. Wedderburn was the first president, and Blackie was the vice president. Our athletes, the UAC athletes, trained at Harrison College, and people like Frieda Nichols and Royal Clark, and you know that whole crowd. They really, really worked out with Blackie at Harrison College in those earlier days. And United Athletic Club has remained, we are celebrating 54 years this year, and Blackie's name has been indelibly written on in the name of this on this club. What we have three houses in the club, and one is Blackman House.
Okay.
And as a matter of fact, during his funeral service, the Blackman House the members of the club who belonged to Blackman House were very much up front and center watching the streaming because, of course, it was Blackie. Their house was named after Blackie. We have kept in touch with Blackie all, you know, and when we celebrated our 50th anniversary, we honored him then as one of our leading founding members. And it has always been a pleasure to talk to Blackie. Blackie, I don't know, to me, he was like an encyclopedia when it came to the whole world of track and field. You could ask him any question about anything to do with track and field, and Blackie had the answer. As a coach, he was just awesome. I mean, he wasn't just imparting skills. He was molding characters. He was working on the personal development of his athletes. So his coaching went beyond imparting skills. And I think all those persons who have passed through Blackie's hands can attest to the fact that he was more than a coach. And I would like to say on behalf of United Athletic Club that we fully appreciate all that Blackie has done, firstly for the club and secondly for track and field in Barbados. We will always think about him as his name will always be synonymous with the club, and he will always be remembered by all of us.
Yeah. Kathy Harper Hall, I want to, and sorry to call your full name, but that's the name that we know. Yeah, we know
I'm
you by.
I'm the only person in this country with that surname, so you can.
Without that, true. I mean, you have done a whole lot yourself, athletics. But I mean, this is a moment for Blackie and not for yourself. Your time will come where we will pay tribute to you as well. What is the story of Blackie as an athlete? Because I never really got a sense when I was at Foundation. He never talked about his athletic days, but apparently he did share with someone. He was a runner in his time, wasn't he?
No. You see, I don't forget that when I came from Jamaica and came here, Blackie was already an established coach. So I met Blackie as a coach because I came here in 1970 and the club was formed in 1967, 3 years before I came here. So I would not have known anything about Blackie's background. I just met him as a coach.
Yeah, okay.
But
well,
I
mean, because I understand that
he was a good athlete in his day, but he never really talked about it.
Yeah. Because he had an injury to the best of my knowledge, and I think that the injury prevented him from excelling any further. And as a result of that, certainly because my familiarity was when he was working with Alan Ince and Alvin Haynes, and then he was always very it was always stressing the importance of conditioning, warming up, making sure that you protect your vital organs, which is your legs mm-hmm. and your arms and whatnot, by, you know, proper care and exercise and stretching and things of that nature. And he would always stress that.
Jim Wedderburn may be able to give you a little bit more background mm-hmm. on the background, though, because they were together as youngsters. Maybe Jim or Justin, you know, they may be able to give you a little bit more since they were with him in those earlier days. Because I remember he had a lady from Jamaica, Adeline Mears. She was a Jamaican athlete, and she was the first woman that was accepted in the club. And Blackie brought her into the club and was training her, and she ended up representing Jamaica at the Olympics. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he coaching was just his thing. It was just his thing. Yeah. So I'm not sure how much of an established athlete he was.
He was, yeah. Well, I mean, the other thing that I wanted to talk about was the off-track side of it, where because of the fact that he was the coach, he also had the luxury of spending copious amounts of time with boys, many of whom were not into the academic thing as much. And I know that he gave a tremendous amount of guidance to many of us who were maybe not necessarily academically streamed, but, you know, like a life coach telling us, you know, what was the right thing and the wrong thing. You know, he got involved in many instances when boys were fussing and feuding at a foundation. He would be the person that would get involved and, you know, make sure that they park themselves and they behave themselves. I don't believe he ever sent anyone for flogging. But he was always a person who would impose discipline in his own way. And that's something that I always, you know, I really always admired about him. The fact that he developed this relationship with so many of us that went on after. Was he involved in any way with the Dover Athletic Cup?
I am not aware. I have always known him with UAC. I don't know if he had gone over to any other club. I've only known him with UAC. And then... Mm-hmm. After he was no longer active in UAC, I know he went on to work with schools. But although he was not still an active member of UAC, we could still call on him and he could still attend our functions and that type of thing. But as I said earlier, Blackie was more than a coach. Blackie was a father, you know, to his athletes. And he looked out for them. He took care of them. He looked on. He spent a lot of time with the other side of their lives other than with their track and field side.
I can speak to that myself in you know, in clear thing, because that was one of the important points. So when he took people under the wing, like Alvin Haynes was the person in my year who was a triple jumper. He took Alvin under his wing, and you know, he made sure that certain things were done. So for example, he went on to the U.S. to do on an athletic scholarship, and Blackie was instrumental in ensuring a lot of boys and girls would have been able to gain athletic scholarships or gain the necessary exposure that they could get athletic scholarships in later years. And from my recollection, the Dover Athletic Club came along largely because it was difficult for a number of the boys at Foundation to get down to college, you know, on afternoons. And it was easier, and they had a field there, and there was a mentor, and they exercised there instead. And again, it was about proximity to Foundation, and the fact that you had a fairly good core there. Yeah.
Well, it's possible that Blackie may have been involved there then, because he would have been the Foundation athletes would have been his athletes. Mm-hmm. So there's every possibility. But I know I am aware of the Dover Athletic Club, but I'm not really aware of Blackie's. Blackie's relationship with that club.
Yeah. Okay. What about Blackie's health coming on to the end? He was in hospital, I believe, about 2 or 3 years ago for an extended period of time.
Yes.
I know that he had some issues with, I believe it was diabetes.
I'm not sure exactly. We knew Blackie was a very private person.
Okay. And yeah, that's true.
We knew as much. What we knew was he was not well. And he, at one stage, when we wanted to invite him out, as a matter of fact, when we had our 50th anniversary and we had the ceremony and we wanted to invite him because we were honoring him and we were presenting to him, he said he preferred not to go. We had to go make the presentation to him at home.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he had gone into a state where he didn't really want to leave home very much. But mm-hmm. he was still vibrant, and when you talk with him, he was, yeah. you know, he was there, had all his faculties intact and everything. I had not been interacting with him for 2020 for sure, not for all of 2020 mm-hmm. and 2021. So the last time I spoke to him was sometime in 2019, and at that time okay. we had a long conversation, and he was not unusual, you know, he was not ill, as if this, you know, mm-hmm. or at that point, mm-hmm. other than what would have been normally, you know, his general mm-hmm. illness. But,
yeah.
but I know he was in hospital for a while.
Yeah.
As I said,
we just got a WhatsApp message from someone who tells me that I need to congratulate you. Apparently, you've received the inaugural Esther Maynard Award a few days ago.
Yes,
so, Ms. Harper Hall, congratulations to you on having received the Esther Maynard Award. You're the inaugural recipient. So that is, congratulations are in order. Then another WhatsApper wants me to share with you. Good morning. I want to share how Coach Blackman saved my life at Foundation in 1987. Blackie saw something in me and nurtured it. He motivated me like no one before to become the fastest boy in first and second form. He was a master motivator and coach. He taught me the proper techniques and everything related to track and field, javelin, discus, shot put, long jump, triple jump, etc. His knowledge knew no boundaries. His knowledge of athletics knew no boundaries. Through my track and field aspirations, even though my track and field aspirations came to an end, I took his motivation and inspiration to all aspects of life, and I thank him for it eternally. Rest in peace, Baki. Your legacy will live. You will motivate and inspire others to follow in your footsteps. And I think that is certainly very, very well said. And one of the best tributes is that after you close your eyes, you know, your memories and the legacy will always continue.
That's right. That's right.
One of the things he told me when I was, because I used to try a thing when it came to sports at Foundation. And one of the things he said to me is that I can't make you a sprinter. If you have the necessary muscles and so on for sprinting, I can make you a better sprinter. But if you don't have it, I can't make you a sprinter. But there may be something else in the range of athletics that you want to do. So let's see if there's something else that you want. I fancied myself a sprinter. And I remember that day when he put his arm around my shoulder and said to me, you know, Pete, if you're not a sprinter, I can't make you a sprinter. So I thought that was lasting. And it wasn't a judgment. You know, it wasn't something that I saw as being negative.
That was Blackie.
Yeah, I understood Blackie. Yeah.
Very straightforward. He's going to tell you straight, you know, hit you straight with it. I'm not going to go around any corners. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, precisely. Yeah. And then the final one I want to mention here, someone is saying that there were a number of early athletes that he trained, Patsy Callender, Lorna Ford. Apparently he was a sprinter. There was this police sprinter called Bradshaw and also a former police footballer who Blackie would also have been involved with in terms of the training. So it was an excellent innings. And
Blackie
certainly
touched so
Mr.
many lives. So he touched
he did.
So many lives.
Yeah. So yeah. it's a life well lived and a legacy that will live on.
We thank him. In the area of starting, Blackie was the starter, and he was starting all across the Caribbean, and of course everybody revered and respected Blackie as the starter. Mm-hmm. And he handed over to Basil Cox. He taught Basil Cox how to start. And he handed over to Basil, and you know, because, you know, at one point he was like a fixture at the stadium as a starter. Then after he finished, then Basil became the fixture. So that was another area that he made a significant contribution to track and field.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So, Ms. Harper Hall, thanks again for calling. And I appreciate very much that you used me as a vessel to express those views. I'm happy to be, as a former Foundation boy associated with the legacy of Frank Blackman. And I hope that many of those persons listening today would have benefited significantly from the conversation. The fact that we
thank you for facilitating this call.
My pleasure. Okay, we'll take a break, and when we come back, we will continue with more of Down to Brass Tacks. Do stay with us. Welcome back to Down to Brass Tacks. You know, when the history of athletics and sport in this country is written, there are a couple of names that will be prominent chapters. Frank Blackman's name will be one of them. Kathy Harper Hall's name will also be one of them. And there's a third name that will also be up there, and the name is Esther Maynard. And I feel honored today that as we speak about Frank Blackman, I had the honor of speaking with Kathy Harper Hall, and now I am told that Esther Maynard is on the line to continue to shine and polish this ball that we're bowling today. Miss Maynard, good morning.
Good morning, Peter.
How are you? I haven't been able to bring myself to call you Esther yet. So you're still Miss Maynard because you taught me at the Barbados Community College. So in the same way that Miss Harper Hall was such, you're Miss Maynard. Thank you for coming in to share with us on the passing of the man that we knew as Blackie.
You know, I've been trying to break half of Barbados that I've grown to know and love among them. Are you Peter? And I've been trying to break you all of the habit of calling me Mrs. Maynard. I just keep telling them that is for the little young ones, so they know how to be like older people, but not people that I've grown in stature and every other way.
I know so the.
If you don't figure it out, Lynch, he will not call me anything else. But anyhow, I'm not here to talk about me today. I'm going to fill in. First of all, I want to endorse everything that Kathy said. I was a proud member of the Blackman team out of UAC, the house, Blackman House. So I've got a long association. Plus what happened with, you know, when I came back to Barbados, he was a stalwart. He was a giant and a very humble person. But I just wanted to fill in some things because Blackie, and I might add that this citation was prepared for our national championships when we honored him as the patron of that meet, and it was done by Harcourt Wason. Mm-hmm. It helped me fill in my own gaps. All right, it said that Blackie started his athletic career as a 12-year-old out of the Roebuck Moravian Boys School, representing him in his first 100-meter race at Kensington Oval in 1947. And for the next 3 years, he was a fighter, a stalwart, everything, a dynamic competitor in the field of sport, of track and field, as a sprinter. And you would hear, we talk about the three W's in cricket. We had the three B's in athletics. That was Frank Blackman, Rudolph Bradshaw, and Henderson Bascom. And they were both members of the police force. I came up hearing all about the three B's. And he sprinted against them, and Ralph Weeks and Anthony Stewart, out of St. Philip. He was recognized for his outstanding ability and contribution by the late Louis Lynch, who became one of his mentors. And his starting career began with Louis Lynch when he started the Modern High School Sports. During that period, he was being coached by Inspector Eric Denny. The next high point I have is 1962, when he represented Barbados in the 1962, what is now the defunct West Indian Games in the 100-meter, and was a member of the 4x1 relay team that placed second to Jamaica, defeating the highly rated Trinidad and Tobago team that boasted Commonwealth Games 100-meter gold medalist Michael Agostini. But Blackie also competed against the likes of Dennis Johnson. My memory serves me correct. Way back in those days, he was at one time the holder of the 100-meter record, the world record. Yes, it's true. And Keith Gardner from Jamaica, he went on to compete against also Tommy Robinson from the Bahamas, who was a 1964 Olympic finalist in the 100 meters. And it was Tommy that gave Blackie his first pair of real, authentic running shoes. Blackie was a national record holder of the 100 yards in 1965 and the metric equivalent in 1963. At that time, the record was 10.5, which he shared with one of the other bees, Bascom. And it lasted for a decade when it was finally broken by Noel Lynch and Pearson Jordan in 1973. The two national representatives that Blackie had coached. So he coached them way past his own which is outstanding. He ran his last competitive race in 1970, right here at the National Stadium on the eve of the facility that was officially open October 23rd of that year.
Mm-hmm.
Blackie was a fantastic individual. He was such a caring person. But he, as many people know, he was not a limelighter. He was very reticent. You would have to push him into the limelight.
Mm.
But was a solid human being. You could not have wanted for a better. And he mentored all sorts of people. He called my husband, I don't know where he ever got the name from, Zippy. And my son had a lot of dealings with him at foundation school as well. So Blackie will go down in our family as very much an extended part of the family because he was always there for you. He was an excellent starter. I could not give Blackie enough accolades. And he was so deserving of them because he never tried to take over. He never tried to be in the limelight, but he was always there as a very strong supporter and would always work with any team that you asked him to work with.
Yeah. No, I mean, the reflection is useful. I mean, in terms of mentioning his work, certainly his own track and field career, because that was something that we didn't hear a lot about. And, you know, I can say for myself, I've also seen his role as a mentor and the fact that, you know, he was able to coach people like Noah Lynch. I mean, I didn't realize that he was one who coached Noah Lynch that we all know past his own record. And I think that is a significant thing, that he was able to take people past the limits of his own achievement.
Yes. And you know, he never, as in Bajan terms, he never bigged up himself. He was so humble. You know, I knew a lot about Blackie, but it was not until Harcourt did this research when we did this citation for him that I was able to fill in the blanks. So I thought it would be useful to share it with Barbados, particularly the younger generation that knew of him but did not know him.
Okay. Well, thanks, Ms. Maynard. I appreciate very much your sharing today with us on him. Certainly, you would have known things that many of us wouldn't have known. And, you know, as you tell the story of athletics in Barbados, as I said, there's a chapter in the book for you as well. But, you know, we need to tell the chapter of Frank Blackman. Persons like him helped to bring athletics to a stage of decency. In Barbados, where there was a time that athletics was something that people in Barbados did when they couldn't do anything else. But we are now seeing it as an enterprise, which is viewed with a level of regard and respect. And I think he would also be one of the people that would have contributed to that. And that is an extremely important point to remember. So, Ms. Maynard, thank you again for calling and for sharing. I have two reflections. My colleagues at the Foundation School, former colleagues at Christchurch Foundation School, are reminding me that I cannot talk about Blackie without mentioning the fact that he used to ride a Honda 70. When the Honda 70 came through the gates of Foundation School, there was always a certain pause that would take place, especially if any bad behavior was going on. But that Honda 70 was legendary. I think he rode the Honda 70 up until the point when he wasn't able to ride anymore. And he then purchased a vehicle, which he used to use to take his wife to and from church at James Street on Sundays. So that was important for us to also remember. One of the regular callers, Cyprian. Cyprian was at Harrison College. Unfortunately, Cyprian never got to go to Foundation, so he had to languish at Harrison College. And he said that while he was there, Blackie also tried his best with him. And he, too, did not have fast twitch muscles like me. So he also knew what it was to not have succeeded in athletics. But nonetheless, Blackie would have been there and would have tried. He also loved a person called Andy Cyro, who ran backwards in 100 meters, I still finished first. I didn't know about Andy, but Blackie would have been involved with him too. So thanks, Ms. Maynard, and also thanks, Cyprian, for the reflection. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning.
Good morning, Good. Mr. Wickham.
Morning, sir. How are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful, man. What about yourself?
Man, I'm good. I'm blessed, as they say.